Understanding attention mechanisms, from mathematical foundations to distributed implementation. Introduction: building mental models for modern AI architectures. When we think about the breakthrough that transformed natural language processing and sparked the current AI revolution, we're really talking about a single, elegant mathematical insight: the attention mechanism. But to truly understand why attention works so well, and more importantly, how to implement and optimize it at scale, we need to build our understanding from the ground up. Today, we're going to take a deep technical journey through the landscape of attention mechanisms, starting with the fundamental mathematics of projection matrices and working our way up to distributed computing protocols. This isn't just about understanding transformers. It's about developing the kind of deep, principled thinking that lets you reason about complex AI systems and make informed architectural decisions. We'll explore 7 critical questions that get to the heart of how modern AI systems work. From the mathematical properties that make attention mechanisms so powerful, to the specific protocols that enable GPU clusters to train massive models efficiently. Along the way, we'll draw connections between seemingly disparate domains. Understanding why the same mathematical principles that power language models also inform how we design communication protocols for robotic systems. The goal here is to build robust mental models that stick. By the end of our discussion, you should have the conceptual frameworks needed to reason about attention mechanisms at multiple levels of abstraction, from linear algebra operations to distributed system design. The mathematical foundation: why projection matrices matter. Let's start with our first fundamental question. How do the mathematical properties of projection matrices enable attention mechanisms to learn complex relationships between sequence elements? To understand this, we need to think about what attention is really doing at its core. When we talk about attention, we're describing a mechanism that allows each position in a sequence to gather information from other positions in a selective, learnable way. The key insight is that this selection process can be formulated as a series of learned linear transformations. And this is where projection matrices become crucial. Consider what happens when we have a sequence of input vectors, each representing a token or element in our data. In the traditional approach, each position would only have access to its own local information. But attention mechanisms break this limitation by allowing each position to create 3 different representations of itself: a query vector that represents what am I looking for, a key vector that represents what do I contain, and a value vector that represents what information can I provide. The projection matrices, let's call them W or Q, WK, and WV, are what transform our input representations into these 3 spaces. Here's where the mathematics becomes beautiful. These aren't just arbitrary linear transformations. They're learned mappings that the model discovers during training, and they have specific mathematical properties that make the attention mechanism so powerful. First, let's think about the dimensionality. If our input embeddings have dimension D model, our projection matrices typically map to a smaller dimension DK for queries and keys, and DV for values. This dimensionality reduction serves multiple purposes. It acts as a form of regularization, reduces computational cost, and most importantly, forces the model to learn compressed, meaningful representations. The mathematical magic happens when we compute attention scores. For each query vector, we calculate its dot product with every key vector in the sequence. This dot product operation is measuring similarity, or more precisely, it's measuring how much the query resonates with each key. The mathematics here are deeply connected to concepts from information retrieval and signal processing. When we compute the dot product between a query and a key, we're essentially asking, how aligned are these 2 vectors in the learned representation space? The beauty is that the model learns what alignment means for the task at hand. In a language model, it might learn that pronouns should attend to their antecedents, or that verbs should attend to their subjects and objects. The softmax normalization that follows transforms these raw similarity scores into a probability distribution. This is mathematically crucial because it ensures that the attention weights sum to 1, creating a weighted average when we combine the value vectors. But it also introduces a competitive dynamic. When one attention weight increases, others must decrease proportionally. Now here's where the projection matrices really shine. They allow the model to learn multiple different notions of similarity simultaneously. In multi-head attention, we use multiple sets of projection matrices, each learning different types of relationships. One head might specialize in syntactic relationships, another in semantic similarity, and yet another in positional proximity. The mathematical expressiveness comes from the fact that these projection matrices can learn to emphasize different aspects of the input representations. They might learn to ignore certain dimensions that are irrelevant for attention computation, or amplify dimensions that are particularly informative. This is fundamentally different from using the raw embeddings directly. The learned projections create task-specific similarity metrics. From a linear algebra perspective, we can think of each set of projection matrices as defining a new inner product space. The attention mechanism is then performing similarity comparisons in these learned metric spaces, rather than in the original embedding space. This gives the model tremendous flexibility to discover the right similarity measures for its task. Multi-head attention, parallel processing of relationships. Building on our understanding of projection matrices, let's examine how multi-head attention architecture amplifies these capabilities. The core insight of multi-head attention is elegantly simple. Instead of learning just one way to compute attention, we learn multiple attention heads in parallel, each specializing in different types of relationships. Think of it this way. If single-head attention is like having one expert who looks at your data and decides what's important, multi-head attention is like having a panel of experts, each with their own specialty. One expert might focus on local patterns, another on long-range dependencies, and a third on semantic relationships that transcend positional proximity. Mathematically, this is achieved by using multiple sets of projection matrices. If we have H attention heads, we create H different sets of WQ, WK, and WV matrices. Each head operates independently, creating its own queries, keys, values, and computing its own attention patterns. The dimensionality management here is particularly elegant. Rather than using the full model dimension D model for each head, we typically divide the total capacity across heads. If we have 8 heads and a model dimension of 5 or 12, each head might use 64 dimensional projections. This ensures that the total parameter count remains manageable while allowing each head to specialize. The parallel computation aspect is crucial for both expressiveness and efficiency. Each head can discover different patterns in the data without interference from other heads. This is somewhat analogous to having multiple convolutional filters in a CNN, where each filter learns to detect different features. Except in attention, the features are relational patterns between sequence elements. After all heads compute their attention outputs, we concatenate their results and apply a final linear transformation. This final projection, often called WO, allows the model to combine information from all heads in a learned way. It's not just a simple concatenation. The model learns how to integrate the different perspectives provided by each head. The architectural beauty emerges from this combination of specialization and integration. Each head can focus on its own specific type of relationship, but the final output incorporates all these perspectives in a coherent way. In practice, researchers have observed that different heads in trained models often exhibit distinct behavioral patterns. Some focus on syntactic relationships, others on semantic similarity, and some on positional patterns. From an information processing perspective, multi-head attention can be viewed as a form of ensemble learning applied to attention computation. Instead of making attention decisions based on a single similarity metric, we're combining multiple learned metrics, each potentially capturing different aspects of the relationships in our data. The computational implementation leverages modern hardware efficiently. Because each head operates independently on the same input data, the computation can be highly parallelized. On modern GPUs, all heads can be computed simultaneously using batched matrix operations, making multi-head attention not just more expressive than single-head attention, but also efficient to compute at scale. Causal masking, controlling information flow. Now let's dive deep into how causal attention masks work mechanically and how different implementations affect gradient flow and training dynamics. This is where we start to see how architectural choices have profound implications for both what models can learn and how efficiently they can learn it. Causal masking addresses a fundamental challenge in sequence modeling. During training, we want to predict each token based only on the tokens that come before it, never on future tokens. This constraint mirrors the actual use case during inference, where we generate tokens one by one without knowledge of what comes next. The implementation of causal masking happens at the attention score level before the softmax operation. We create a mask matrix, typically a lower triangular matrix filled with zeros below the diagonal and negative infinity, or a very large negative number, above the diagonal. When we add this mask to our attention scores, the negative infinity values ensure that future positions receive zero attention weight after softmax normalization. Let's think about this mathematically. Before masking, our attention scores for a sequence of length n form an nxn matrix, where entry ij represents how much position I wants to attend to position j. Without masking, every position could potentially attend to every other position. The causal mask zeroes out the upper triangular portion, ensuring that position I can only attend to positions 0 through I. The gradient flow implications are subtle but important. During backpropagation, gradients flow backward through the attention mechanism. With causal masking, the gradient paths are constrained. A position can only receive gradients from positions that attend to it, which are exactly the positions that come after it in the sequence. This creates an interesting training dynamic. Early positions in the sequence, which many later positions attend to, receive rich gradient signals from many sources. Later positions receive sparser gradient signals, potentially making them harder to train. Some implementations address this by using techniques like gradient clipping or specialized learning rate schedules that account for this positional bias. Different causal masking implementations can have varying computational and memory implications. The naive approach materializes the full mask matrix, which requires O n squared memory for a sequence of length n. For very long sequences, this becomes prohibitive. More sophisticated implementations avoid materializing the full mask. Instead, they modify the attention computation to skip mask positions entirely, or use algorithmic techniques that compute only the non-masked attention scores. These optimizations become crucial when working with long sequences, where the quadratic memory requirement of full attention would otherwise be limiting. The choice of mask value also matters. Using negative infinity ensures that masked positions receive exactly zero attention weight, but can lead to numerical instability during training. Some implementations use large negative values, like -1e9 instead, which achieve nearly the same effect while being more numerically stable. From a training dynamics perspective, causal masking interacts interestingly with other architectural choices. In models that use both causal masking and techniques like dropout or layer normalization, the interaction between these mechanisms can affect convergence behavior. The constrained attention patterns create specific gradient flow patterns that may require careful tuning of other hyperparameters. Memory optimization, flash attention's breakthrough. Let's examine what makes flash attention revolutionary and how it integrates with tensor parallelism strategies. Flash attention represents a fundamental rethinking of how we implement attention mechanisms, moving beyond algorithmic improvements to tackle the memory hierarchy of modern computing systems. The breakthrough insight of flash attention is recognizing that the standard attention implementation is memory-bound rather than compute-bound. Traditional attention materializes the full NXN attention score matrix in high bandwidth memory, HBM, which becomes prohibitively expensive for long sequences. Flash attention eliminates this bottleneck through a technique called tiling, computing attention in chunks that fit within the GPU's faster on-chip SRAM. To understand why this matters, we need to think about the memory hierarchy of modern GPUs. HBM, the main GPU memory, has high capacity but relatively low bandwidth compared to SRAM, the on-chip cache memory. SRAM has much higher bandwidth but limited capacity. Traditional attention implementations require frequent transfers between these memory levels, creating a bottleneck. Flash attention restructures the computation to maximize SRAM utilization. Instead of computing the entire attention matrix at once, it divides the computation into tiles that fit within SRAM. The algorithm processes these tiles in a carefully orchestrated sequence, accumulating partial results and updating them incrementally. The mathematical insight that enables this is the observation that softmax normalization can be computed incrementally using an online algorithm. As we process each tile of the attention matrix, we can update running statistics, the maximum value and the normalization constant, that allow us to correctly combine results from different tiles. This tiling strategy requires careful coordination of the forward and backward passes. During the forward pass, we store intermediate statistics rather than the full attention matrix. During the backward pass, we recompute attention scores on the fly within each tile, using the stored statistics to ensure mathematical correctness. The memory access patterns become crucial here. Flash attention is designed to maximize memory locality. Each tile computation performs many arithmetic operations on data that's already loaded into SRAM, reducing the total number of memory transfers. This transforms attention from a memory-bound operation to a compute-bound one, which is exactly what we want on modern accelerators that have abundant computational capacity. The integration with tensor parallelism strategies requires careful consideration of how computation is distributed across multiple devices. In tensor parallelism, we partition the model across multiple GPUs, with each GPU handling a portion of the computation. For attention layers, this typically means distributing the attention heads across devices. When combining flash attention with tensor parallelism, we need to ensure that the tiling strategy is compatible with the parallelization scheme. Each device computes flash attention for its assigned heads, but the tiling within each head follows the same memory-optimized approach. This creates a hierarchical structure: parallelism across heads at the device level, and memory-optimized tiling within each head. The communication patterns become more complex in this setup. While flash attention reduces memory transfers within each device, tensor parallelism still requires communication between devices for operations like all reduce during backpropagation. The key is ensuring that these communication patterns don't interfere with the memory access patterns that make flash attention efficient. Performance benefits compound when we consider sequence length scaling. Traditional attention has O(n)² memory complexity, making it impractical for very long sequences. Flash attention maintains the same computational complexity, but dramatically reduces memory usage, enabling attention over much longer sequences. When combined with tensor parallelism, this allows us to scale to sequences that would be impossible with traditional implementations. Positional information, the rotary embedding innovation. Moving to positional encodings, let's explore rotary embeddings and their computational implications when integrated with attention optimization techniques. Rotary position embedding represents a significant advancement in how we encode positional information in transformer models, and understanding its mechanics reveals important insights about how models process sequential data. Traditional positional encodings, like the sinusoidal encodings used in the original transformer paper, add positional information to input embeddings before any processing begins. This approach has a fundamental limitation. The positional information is diluted as it passes through multiple attention layers, and the model must learn to preserve this information throughout the network. ROPE takes a different approach by encoding positional information directly into the attention computation itself. Instead of modifying input embeddings, applies rotational transformations to the query and key vectors during attention score computation. This ensures that positional information is fresh and relevant at each attention layer. The mathematical foundation of ROPE is based on complex number rotations. In the complex plane, multiplying by EEC rotates a vector by angle theta. ROPE extends this concept to higher dimensions by treating pairs of dimensions as complex numbers and applying position-dependent rotations. For a given position m in the sequence, ROPE applies a rotation that depends on both the position and the dimension index. The rotation angles are chosen such that the relative positional encoding between any two positions depends only on their relative distance, not their absolute positions. This creates a translation invariant positional encoding. The same relative position always produces the same relative encoding. The implementation involves several key steps. First, we group the dimensions of our query and key vectors into pairs. Each pair is treated as a complex number, with the first dimension as the real part and the second as the imaginary part. Then, we apply position-dependent rotations to each pair, where the rotation frequency decreases as we move to higher dimension pairs. This frequency-based approach creates a rich positional representation. Lower frequency rotations capture long-range positional relationships, while higher frequency rotations capture fine-grained positional distinctions. The model can learn to use different frequency components for different types of positional reasoning. The computational implications are significant when integrating Roque with attention optimization techniques. Unlike additive positional encodings, Roque requires additional computation during the attention score calculation. However, this computation is highly parallelizable and can be fused with other attention operations for efficiency. When combined with flash attention, Roque integration requires careful consideration of the tiling strategy. The rotational transformations must be applied consistently across tiles, which means we need to ensure that position information is correctly maintained as we process different portions of the sequence. This is typically achieved by pre-computing rotation matrices and applying them within each tile's computation. The memory implications are generally favorable. Roque doesn't require storing additional positional embeddings, and the rotation matrices can often be pre-computed and cached. The additional computation is offset by the elimination of positional embedding parameters and the improved quality of positional representations. From a training dynamics perspective, Roque often leads to better generalization to sequence lengths not seen during training. Because the positional information is embedded in the attention mechanism itself, and because the relative nature of the encoding creates translation invariance, models with Roque can often handle longer sequences at inference time than they were trained on. The integration with distributed training strategies requires coordination of the position calculations across different devices. In tensor parallelism setups, each device needs access to the correct positional information for its portion of the computation. This is typically handled by ensuring that position indices are correctly distributed along with the input data. Distributed computing. Scaling through parallelism. Now let's examine how tensor parallelism distributes attention computation and how communication overheads scale with model size and network topology. This takes us into the realm of distributed systems design, where the challenge is maintaining the mathematical correctness of our algorithms while distributing computation across multiple devices. Tensor parallelism for attention layers involves partitioning the computation across multiple devices in such a way that each device handles a portion of the work, but the final result is mathematically identical to what we would get from single device computation. The key insight is that different components of the attention mechanism can be parallelized in different ways. The most common approach is to distribute attention heads across devices. If we have a model with 32 attention heads and 8 GPUs, each GPU handles 4 heads. This creates a clean partition where each device performs complete attention computations for its assigned heads, and the results are combined only at the final output projection. The mathematical elegance of this approach becomes clear when we consider the attention computation flow. Each device receives the same input sequence but applies different query, key, and value projections corresponding to its assigned heads. The attention computation within each device is identical to single device computation, just operating on a subset of the heads. Communication occurs primarily at two points: input distribution and output collection. At the input, all devices need access to the same sequence data. At the output, results from all devices must be combined through the final linear projection. The communication pattern resembles an all-gather operation. Each device contributes its portion of the computation, and all devices receive the final combined result. The scaling characteristics depend critically on the ratio of computation to communication. For larger models, each device performs more computation per unit of data transferred, improving the computation-to-communication ratio. This is why tensor parallelism becomes more attractive as model size increases. Network topology plays a crucial role in determining communication efficiency. In ideal scenarios with high bandwidth, low latency interconnects like NVLink, the communication overhead is minimal. But as we scale to larger clusters or use lower bandwidth connections, communication becomes a bottleneck. The mathematical structure of attention computation actually helps with communication efficiency. Because attention heads operate independently during the forward pass, there's no need for inter-device communication during the main attention computation. Communication is only required for input distribution and output collection, creating clear synchronization points. Memory distribution follows the computation distribution. Each device stores only the parameters for its assigned attention heads, reducing the memory requirements per device. This enables training of larger models than would fit on a single device, but requires careful management of the non-parallelized components like layer normalization and feed-forward layers. The interaction between tensor parallelism and gradient computation creates interesting challenges. During backpropagation, gradients must be computed and accumulated across devices. This requires additional communication phases, typically implemented as all-reduce operations that combine gradients from all devices. Load balancing becomes critical as we scale to more devices. If attention heads have different computational requirements, which can happen depending on the specific attention patterns learned, some devices may finish their computation before others, leading to idle time. Advanced implementations use dynamic load balancing or work-stealing strategies to mitigate this. Communication protocols, bridging domains. Let's explore our final set of questions about communication protocols. What specific protocols are used for GPU-to-GPU communication over Ethernet, and why different domains require fundamentally different communication approaches? When GPUs are connected over Ethernet for distributed training, the protocol stack becomes quite sophisticated. At the lowest level, we're still using Ethernet frames, but the higher level protocols are optimized for the specific requirements of distributed machine learning workloads. The most common approach uses RDMA, Remote Direct Memory Access, over converged Ethernet, specifically ROSI-EGMA over converged Ethernet. ROSE allows one GPU to directly read from or write to another GPU's memory without involving the CPU, dramatically reducing latency and CPU overhead. This is crucial for distributed training, where we need to transfer large amounts of gradient data with minimal delay. The protocol choice is driven by the specific requirements of distributed machine learning. We need to transfer large, dense arrays of floating point numbers with high bandwidth and low latency. The data is typically well-structured and predictable. We know in advance what data needs to be transferred and when. This allows for optimization techniques like pre-registering memory buffers and using zero-copy transfers. NCCL, NVIDIA Collective Communication Library, typically sits on top of these low-level protocols, providing optimized implementations of collective operations like all-reduce and all-gather. NCCL understands the topology of GPU interconnects and can optimize communication patterns accordingly, choosing between different algorithms based on message size and network characteristics. For high-performance computing clusters, InfiniBand is often preferred over Ethernet because it provides lower latency and higher bandwidth. InfiniBand can achieve sub-microsecond latencies, which becomes important when communication and computation are tightly coupled. Now let's contrast this with robotics and motor control systems, where CAN, Controller Area Network, protocol dominates. The requirements are fundamentally different, which drives completely different protocol design decisions. CAN protocol was designed for automotive applications where reliability, real-time response, and electromagnetic interference resistance are paramount. The protocol uses a bus topology where all nodes can hear all messages, and includes sophisticated error detection and correction mechanisms. The data characteristics in robotics are also different from GPU communication. Instead of large arrays of floating point numbers, we're typically sending small, structured messages containing sensor readings, motor commands, and status information. Message sizes are typically measured in bytes rather than megabytes or gigabytes. Real-time guarantees are crucial in robotics. A motor control command must be delivered within a specific time window, or the system becomes unstable. CAN provides deterministic message delivery through its priority-based arbitration scheme, where higher priority messages can preempt lower priority ones without causing collisions. The fault tolerance requirements are also different. In distributed GPU training, if one node fails, we can restart the training process, possibly from a checkpoint. In a robotic system, communication failures can lead to physical damage or safety hazards. CAN includes extensive error detection mechanisms and can automatically retry failed transmissions. The bandwidth requirements tell the story clearly. CAN typically operates at 125 kilobits to 1, while GPU-to-GPU communication requires multiple gigabits per second. CAN prioritizes reliability and real-time response over raw throughput. Physical layer considerations matter too. CAN is designed to work reliably in electrically noisy environments with potentially long cable runs. The differential signaling and robust physical layer can handle electromagnetic interference that would disrupt higher speed protocols. Network topology reflects the different use cases. GPU clusters typically use switched networks that can provide full bisection bandwidth between any pair of nodes. CAN uses a bus topology that's simpler to implement and provides broadcast communication naturally, but has lower aggregate bandwidth. The protocol selection criteria reveal the fundamental trade-offs in distributed system design. For GPU communication, we optimize for bandwidth and latency with predictable bulk data transfers. For robotics, we optimize for reliability, real-time response, and fault tolerance with small, time-critical messages. Synthesis, connecting the pieces. As we bring together these different threads, attention mechanisms, memory optimization, distributed computing, and communication protocols, we can see how they form a coherent picture of modern AI system design. Each component reflects fundamental trade-offs between performance, scalability, reliability, and complexity. The mathematical foundations we explored with projection matrices and multi-head attention reveal why attention mechanisms are so powerful. They provide a flexible, learnable way to compute relationships between sequence elements. The projection matrices create task-specific similarity metrics, while multiple heads allow for parallel exploration of different types of relationships. The memory optimization techniques like flash attention show how algorithmic innovations can unlock new scales of computation. By carefully considering the memory hierarchy and restructuring computations to maximize cache efficiency, we can make previously intractable problems feasible. The distributed computing strategies demonstrate how mathematical operations can be decomposed and distributed across multiple devices while maintaining correctness. The key insight is that many operations in deep learning are naturally parallelizable, but effective parallelization requires careful consideration of communication patterns and load balancing. The communication protocol analysis reveals how different application domains drive different protocol design decisions. The same mathematical operations, like matrix multiplication, might be supported by completely different communication infrastructures depending on the specific requirements of the system. These insights have practical implications for anyone designing or optimizing AI systems. Understanding the memory access patterns of attention mechanisms helps in choosing appropriate optimization techniques. Recognizing the communication requirements of distributed training helps in selecting appropriate hardware and network configurations. Appreciating the trade-offs in communication protocols helps in making informed decisions about system architecture. The field continues to evolve rapidly, with new optimization techniques, distributed strategies, and architectural innovations appearing regularly. But the fundamental principles we've explored, the importance of mathematical foundations, the critical role of memory hierarchy, the challenges of distributed computation, and the domain-specific nature of protocol requirements, provide a stable foundation for understanding and contributing to these advances. By building deep, principled understanding of these systems, we can move beyond simply applying existing techniques to truly understanding how to design, optimize, and reason about the complex AI systems that are reshaping our world. The mathematical elegance of attention mechanisms, combined with the engineering sophistication of distributed systems, creates a powerful toolkit for tackling problems that seemed impossible just a few years ago. This convergence of mathematical insight and systems engineering represents one of the most exciting frontiers in computer science, where theoretical understanding and practical implementation must work hand in hand to push the boundaries of what's possible with artificial intelligence.